M is for the million things she gave to me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of pure gold. E is for her eyes with loving light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother. It's time I'll turn it over to Mark Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. I thought that was great how all those three mothers that got the baskets were sitting in the back. Really gave Bill a workout this morning for Mother's Day. That's great. Maybe Marilyn worked that out, Bill, to try to get you back for the other Sunday. That might be what it was. Well, so good to see every one of you in a special way. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all you moms that are out here this morning. What a blessing to be able to celebrate this day with you. Hope it's already been special, and I hope it will continue to be special as the day goes on and as the year goes on. I don't know what your children got you for Mother's Day, if anything. But if you haven't gotten your mother anything yet, or if you're getting something on behalf of your children, or maybe just from yourself to your wife, I just want to remind you the thing that I had to learn the hard way. You never buy your wife or your mother anything they need, okay? Don't do that. You don't buy them anything they need. You buy them something they want, okay? But this morning in the message, we're going to talk about some things that every mother needs, okay? We're going to be looking at that, and we're going to start out in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to be looking at a mother whose name, or who is referred to, rather, actually in the book of Matthew. We find her name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Her name is Bathsheba. And often when we think of Bathsheba, we think of things in somewhat of a negative light because of the situation between her and David and the way that they got together. And we will just mention that this morning for background. But this morning, we'd really like to look at Bathsheba as a mother. And I think that as we look at Bathsheba and the things that we have about her in Scripture, in several different references here in 2 Samuel 12, and also in 1 Kings chapters 1 and 2, we're going to find four things that every mother needs. Now, they're not the only things. I'm not saying these are the only four things, but they are four things that every mother needs. And whenever you approach a Mother's Day message, at least when I do, I'm thinking, who is this message for? Is this for the mothers with children at home? Is this for the mothers with children who are grown up? Is this for those who have mothers? Is this for, you know, for those whose mothers have died, who still live at home? We know it's been a blessing when I've studied Bathsheba. I believe this is going to be something for everybody here this morning. Because we're talking about the things that every mother needs, but we're going to find out, not only are we talking to the moms about the things they need, but we're finding that every one of us in this room are responsible and have the opportunity to be an instrument of God in providing these four things that every mother needs. So we're going to start out and we're going to read several verses in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And again, just to paint the background a little bit, most of you are familiar with the situation. David is king in Jerusalem. His forces are off at war. It's the time when kings go to war. But David, a warrior himself, had not gone to war. He was at home. And on the top of his roof, he looked down and saw a beautiful woman bathing. And her husband was off fighting on behalf of David and the people of Israel. But David took Uriah's wife, and he was with her intimately, and a child was conceived. And that's where we're going to pick up here. Nathan is a prophet used of God. And we find in 2 Samuel 12 in verse 15 that Nathan has come to David, and he has told David that as a discipline for what David has done, David hid the sin, but he finally confessed it when confronted. And the Lord is going to bless him for that. But there is still going to be discipline. And we find out that the discipline is going to be against the young child. Verse 15, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. The first thing we're going to see, we're going to read another couple of verses here, but the first thing that I'd like to suggest from this passage that every mother needs at some time in her motherhood is comfort. Comfort when she experiences heartache over her children. Now let's look down, we'll continue on, and in verse 18, we'll just read the first part of that verse. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Go with me down, if you would, now to verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. I want you just for a moment to think about Bathsheba. After 9 months of pregnancy, going through the pain of childbirth and the initial bonding of the mother with that newborn baby, Bathsheba's son became seriously ill. Seriously ill. Not just colic. Not just something that the doctors could treat, which is bad enough when you have a newborn child. Anything that goes wrong with that child is difficult. But she could tell that her son was not just sick, he was seriously ill. And then the baby died after 7 days. You know, we don't have her heartache described here in this passage. But you know, it really goes without saying, doesn't it? It's almost unnecessary even to have it written because we all can to some degree enter into and sympathize with this woman Bathsheba and the deep heartache and pain that she was experiencing at that time. And that's very understandable. And we read in verse 24 that David, who now had taken her as his wife because Uriah, her husband, had died, really at the hands of David, not physically, but he arranged it so that Uriah would die, trying to cover up his own sin. But nonetheless, now she is David's wife. And we see that David, her husband, went in and comforted and consoled her. And then the Lord gave her conception. Another child was conceived in her womb. And we read about the birth of that child. You know, every mother experiences heartache over her children. And you moms here this morning, you can all relate to this in some way. And whether or not I mention the particular way that you've experienced heartache over your children, all of you have. I know that if you're a mother. I know you've experienced heartache. Maybe it was when your child just fell down as a youngster and hurt him or herself. And your heart ached over that pain that your child was experiencing. Some of you have had children that have died. And what a deep pain you've experienced, like that of Bathsheba. Maybe you've had a child who has drifted away from the way that you have sought to raise him and the things that you have sought to teach her. She or he has drifted away from that. Or maybe they have openly rebelled against what you have taught them from the Word of God. Maybe your heart has ached when your child has been mistreated or has been misunderstood. Maybe it's something like the time comes for your son or your daughter to move out of the house. Or maybe to graduate and to move into a different part of life. Maybe it's when your son or daughter gets married and you're happy for them, but your heart still aches because they're moving on. Maybe they move away, or maybe they're just encountering the difficulties that life brings to all, or maybe they're reaping what they have sown in sin. But whatever the situation is, I know that every mother knows what heartache over their children is like. It can be deep and it can be painful. But you know, God is the one who provides the comfort. God understands. He knows the difficulties that mothers face. He knows what children go through. He knows how Satan is out to get the children. And he knows how the difficulties of life, because we live in a sinful world, he knows that no matter whether a child knows the Lord Jesus Christ or does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there still are going to come those things into his or her life that are going to bring heartache at times for the mother. And God provides that comfort. In this situation with Bathsheba, he used the husband. He used David. And you know, David knew what would comfort Bathsheba. In his life at this time, now thankfully he had turned back to God. Thankfully, when confronted by Nathan about his sin, he broke down before God and he admitted, yes, against God and him only have I sinned. And he saw the magnitude of what he had done. And now, in his restored state, he seeks to turn and comfort this wife. He's dwelling with her, as we have in 1 Peter 3:7, men. He's dwelling with his wife according to knowledge. He knew what it was that would comfort her. Husbands, do we know what it is that would comfort our wives when they go through those times of difficulty? Would it be our time? Would it be some extra attention that we could show toward our wives? Could it be an understanding ear that would really mean a lot to her and would comfort her? Would there be some expression of sympathy that your wife might be blessed by? Do you know what that is? Do you know how to comfort her? That affection, those physical expressions of concern and care. Maybe God would use you, Dad, to minister to Mom. You might say, well, I'm hurting too. And that's true, but you know, we read in 1 Peter 3:7 that our wives are the weaker vessels. And we need to treat them with extra tenderness and care. And part of that is being willing and ready to comfort them when they're experiencing heartache over their children, whatever it might be, a good situation that also brings tears or a terrible, tragic circumstance. I would suggest that it's the responsibility. Not only an opportunity, not only a privilege, men, but a responsibility that we have before God to seek to be an avenue of comfort for our wives. Maybe taking them to the Scripture. Maybe in a loving way sharing a word from God with them. In a way that comforts. Not like Job's comforters who came and thought they were comforting or acted like they were comforting. And Job said, I don't need any comforters like you. No, we don't want to be a comforter like Job had. No, we want to be a comforter that comes and shares that grief. But more importantly, shares what can benefit them in that grief. Whether that be a hug, whether that be an arm around the shoulder, whether that be a held hand, and whether that be the Word of God shared with our wives, maybe praying with them. The psalmist could say in Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath revived me. The Word of God, and we can share that with our wives. Those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Maybe we could encourage our wives to have some extra time alone with the Lord. Maybe we need to help them with the children or provide something that would enable them to have that extra time alone in the Word and prayer to deal with the difficulty. Maybe we could encourage them to spend some time with their friends or with some women in the fellowship or with some older women that could really be an encouragement and a comfort to them. God uses other believers as He did. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 that God is the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And He comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Moms, I'll just give you a little challenge here. Can you think back to a time in your life when your heart was breaking over your children and God brought you through that? You know, there may be another mom that's going through a similar situation and you can be there to comfort them. Ultimately, how thankful we are. And mom, some of you may say, well, I don't have my husband with me anymore. I don't have the father of my children to be here to comfort me. I don't have that. Don't fret. Don't fear, because God takes that upon Himself. We read concerning the widows that God is the one who relieves the widows. Psalm 146, 9. In Proverbs 15, 25, we read that God Himself takes the responsibility of protecting the widows. In Psalm 68, 5, God it is the one who defends the widows. And I would suggest that whenever there is a mom and she has no comfort from anywhere else, mom, you can be sure that God will comfort you. He will do that. He loves you. No matter what kind of heartache you're experiencing over your children, but every mom needs comfort when her heart is aching because of her children. The second thing, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, because the story continues, and now we are a number of years later, and little Solomon, the child that God used to really revive the heart of Bathsheba, and she went on and she had three other children, we read in other scriptures, three other sons. But here we have her son, Solomon, has grown up, and he is the heir apparent to the throne of Israel. And David, Bathsheba's husband, is very old now. And soon he will be dead. Let me suggest here, before we read these verses, that every mother needs counsel. At some time in her life or experiencing of motherhood, every mother needs counsel when her children are in danger. So here in 1 Kings chapter 1, look at verse 11. We're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Adonijah is a half-brother of Solomon. He is a son of David by another mother. We read in verse 11, "Wherefore Nathan," here's the prophet again, "spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon." You see, though Solomon was the heir apparent to the throne, David, though still functioning as the king, was somewhat laid aside. And he wasn't as active, he wasn't as involved in the day-to-day things of the kingdom. Adonijah had seen his opportunity to take, as the oldest son still living, to take that position. And so he had gone, and secretly had gathered together a bunch of people who supported him. And they went out and they had a feast, but they didn't invite Solomon, and they didn't invite those who were loyal to David and Solomon. Bathsheba, along with David, is clueless about what is going on. So Nathan the prophet comes in and he says, "Bathsheba, do you not know what's going on?" She didn't know what was going on. He said, "Listen to my counsel. Let me counsel you about what you need to do. Your son's rightful claim to be the throne, David had sworn it to you, Bathsheba." You remember that. "And that rightful claim to the throne is being undermined, and it's not only the position that he should rightfully have, it's his own life and your life too. Because if Adonijah becomes king, you can be sure that he's not going to let your son live as one who would be a competitor to the throne." So Nathan brings the words of counsel. Because Bathsheba, the mom, her children, her son, is in danger. Moms, if you have children who are alive today, they're in danger. There's no question. It's no question that they might be in danger. They are in danger. There's no question. Because the world in which your children live, and it doesn't matter if your child is 2 months old, And some of you older mothers here in your 90s, you could have a child that could be 70 years old or in their 60s. But it doesn't matter the age of the child. Your children are still in danger because they live in this world. And this world system does not stop trying to shape the minds of people just because they get older. It may have to come from a different angle, but Satan, the god of this world, is constantly attacking every human being, trying to shape his or her thinking to be like that of this world system. If he has to use the internet, he'll do it. If he has to use the television, he'll do it. If he has to do the workplace, he'll do it. If he has to use a relationship, he'll do it. Whatever he can use. If it is a hobby, he'll use whatever. If it's a weakness in the personality of the person, Satan doesn't care as long as he can get in and begin to shape that person's thinking. That the materialistic perspective of our age will begin to shape that child's thinking. That the secularism of the time in which we live will begin to get in, and just the edge of the wedge will get into that child's mind and heart and begin to push its way in, whether the child is several years old or many years old. Satan's goal is the same. To come in and say, you know, you don't need to believe everything in the Bible as it is written, but rather this fellow over here, he's got a good idea too. So be open to that as well. Rather than to believe what the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you know, our world is pushing against the true things of God all the time and trying to shape the thinking of our children concerning what's important in life and how we should invest our time and our abilities and our finances, how we should live our lives. Satan's always coming against your children. Your children, Mom. Again, it doesn't matter how old they are. They may be sitting right beside you, adult themselves. They may be standing on the platform preaching. Satan is still coming against every child. How important it is that every mom receive godly counsel. Blessed is the man, and we could say the woman, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1:1. And every mother is receiving some type of counsel, but often it's the counsel of the world. How much more important to receive that godly counsel and to respond to Proverbs 19:20, which says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Moms need to be reminded and encouraged and warned of the dangers facing their children. It's so easy for all of us to become callous to evil and to not realize the destructive forces attacking our children. And maybe not look at a biblical perspective on how to deal with that. Mom, if your child was sitting there and a wild animal came up, or let's say you're sitting there and a poisonous snake comes up beside your child. I don't care if they're 2 months old or 70-something. A mom is going to react. You want to protect her children. What if you didn't know the snake was there? Wouldn't you want someone to come and say, "There's a snake about to bite your child"? You'd want to know that. You'd want to get that counsel. Godly individuals. Again, we spread the net here and we go out to this whole auditorium. And we say, every one of us in this room can be used to bring godly counsel to moms. Every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can be used in that way. Like Nathan was used by God to bring that godly counsel to Bathsheba. We need one another. None of us can handle it on our own. We're like sequoia trees out in California. Those magnificent trees, some of them tower as much as 300 feet above the ground. And yet you always find sequoia trees together. You don't find them by themselves, because in order to feed that tree and find enough water, the roots are very shallow and they run out along the surface of the ground. And if they were out by themselves and a storm came, they couldn't stand up. They would fall over with that much top and that small of a root system. But they stay together and they protect one another. And that's the kind of counsel that the moms need. And that includes all of us. But again, I want to put out a special challenge. As we read in Titus chapter 2, it's especially appropriate for the older women to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. Moms, there's a younger mom than you somewhere, and probably in this fellowship, and you have a ministry because you have been through things, you have seen attacks on your own children, and you can use that to go minister to another mother in this fellowship or somewhere else. Don't waste that wisdom that God has given you through your own experience and your own study of the Word of God. Be that counselor, not only the older moms, but all of us. But in a special way, there's a call to those older moms. I do want to have a little word of warning here. I don't want to be giving license to say, okay, I can't wait till I can get out of this meeting because I know which mom I'm going to go to and tell her what her kids are doing and what they ought to be doing. I'm going to straighten mom out. That's not the purpose. That was not Nathan's attitude. He's our example here. He came because he was truly concerned that the things of God would go on as God desired them. He cared about Bathsheba and he cared about Solomon. He didn't go with his own agenda. It wasn't for his own benefit. He was motivated by a godly desire to build up. And also remember that Nathan had earned the right to go and do that. Bathsheba knew how Nathan had gone in and confronted her husband about his sin. She knew how Nathan had come to David. Before that time, when David wanted to build a temple, he had come and he had said, here's a message from God. You see, he had earned the right. And we need to do that. We need to earn the right to go to others and to give them counsel by our own lives. Moms, make sure you're exposed to the Word of God. That's your best counsel, obviously, from the Scriptures. So what can we do as husbands? Maybe we need to make sure that we're exposing our wives. We're enabling them to be exposed to the Word of God as much as possible. Dad, husband, does your wife not get out to as many of the meetings because you choose to stay home and she stays with you? Because you choose to go do something else besides make sure that she's going to be exposed to the Word of God again? Do you take opportunity? Do I take opportunity to encourage our wives to be in the Word of God on a daily basis? Do we do that? Do we show by our own example? Moms need counsel when their children are in danger and every child is in danger. Number three, every mom needs consideration from her children at any age. Doesn't matter what her age is. Doesn't matter what age her children are. She should receive consideration, or we might say honor. In 1 Kings, go over to chapter 2. Go over to chapter 2. Solomon has been established on the throne. Bathsheba had gone to David when she received that counsel from Nathan. She went and she addressed David with the problem, and he dealt with the problem, and Solomon has been established as king. Now David has died. But Adonijah, that half-brother, is still in the picture. And he's still doing his little deal, trying to weasel his way in. And so we find him now coming to Bathsheba. And he says, Bathsheba, your son Solomon, he won't say no to you no matter what. So will you go and will you ask a particular favor of him? Now, we find out later that the favor for which he was asking was actually a backdoor ploy to try to get in and to somehow rustle his way back to where he wanted to be on the throne. But notice in verse 19, notice here, we're just going to take a little snippet out of what was going on. Bathsheba is naively going to Solomon to make this request. Bathsheba there went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Israel at this time is making an ascension up to this time would be the pinnacle of its kingdom under Solomon. So here he is, the powerful man Solomon. He's a king. He's sitting there on his throne, and his mom comes in. Look how he responds. He's an adult now, holding the highest position in his kingdom. And look at his reaction to his mother's entrance. He stands up from the throne. Why? Out of consideration for who she is, his mother. And then he bows down to her from this standing position, bows down before his mother out of consideration for who she is. And then he sits back down and he commands his servants to bring in another throne to put at his right hand. Now that's the place of highest honor, the king's right hand. Why does he do that? Out of consideration, out of respect, out of honor for who his mother is. And every mother needs consideration. Every mother needs to know that her children respect and honor her. And that's one reason that we have Mother's Day. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother. A mother wants, a mother deserves, a mother needs honor and respect. So how do we do that? I'm not saying that when your mother comes in the room, you need to get up and go bow down before and give her the best seat. But if you want to do that, that'd be wonderful. I bet she'd appreciate that. But you know, there are other ways to show our honor, our respect, our consideration for who our mothers are. As we treat them politely and respectfully and gently. As we speak to our moms in a respectful tone of voice, as we do what we have here in Ephesians 6:2, that word honor means to value and prize. In other words, treat her as special. Our moms are special. Maybe they haven't done the perfect job. Or maybe they wouldn't win an award. Maybe they wouldn't be invited onto some foolish talk show to tell about what they did. Maybe they wouldn't write a book. Maybe they made mistakes. Every mother has. But we should honor our mothers. We should value them. We should consider them. When we're not with them, we should conduct ourselves in such a way as it would make her proud to be our mother. This is true. It doesn't matter how old you are. There are plenty of people here. Your mothers, they're not alive now. But you can still choose to live in such a way that would honor your mother and honor her memory. And not just today, but every day, that you might live in such a way that would honor her, because that is God's desire. He's the one that said honor your father and mother. Now, that wasn't Aesop who came up with a fable about that. That wasn't Benjamin Franklin and one of his wise sayings. No, this is God who knows what every mother needs. And finally, we're going to have to close very quickly. I only got about a minute. Maybe that clock's wrong. It is wrong. I've got 3 minutes. Check your watch. Does everybody have that? I have 3 minutes, 2.5 at least? All right, we're going by my watch. Nobody said it. Forever hold your peace. The fourth thing, and you're going to have to listen closely here. I know it's getting close to lunchtime and you're starting to fade a little bit, but make sure you listen. I don't want to be misunderstood on this final point, but I think we see it here in the same story. Every mother needs correction from her children in an appropriate manner. We're going to go on. Now here's Solomon's response in verse 20. His mother has just come in and she makes this request. I tell you what, Let's go down to verse 23 for sake of time, because here's his response. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God, do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house as he hath promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. In a very simple manner, Solomon said, Mom, he had already said, look, Mom, you come in. I won't say no to you, but he had to do what was right. He had to do what was right. Adonijah was trying to use his mother. Solomon's mother was naive to Adonijah's ploys. And he respectfully corrected her. Respectfully. You know, the application here is that mothers, every mother, can and should learn from her children. Now, I don't think we have any minor children here in the room right now, so this isn't as big of an issue. But, you know, minor children are under authority, and they're not to be correcting their mothers as Solomon did. But you know what? Moms, you can still be corrected by your children. You could be corrected by their childlike faith, even if they're still under your authority. The Lord Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. And so often children, don't they believe God? Don't they believe God? They lose something, or we lose something, and we're just looking frantically, and they say, let's pray. I tell you, our son Jordan, it was crazy. We called him the finder child. He could find anything, but he'd always pray that he would find it. You know, and it was like, God is blessing the faith of this child who believes that God will answer. Maybe you can learn from their childlike forgiveness. Isn't it neat to see children, how they forgive each other? One will hurt the other, and the parents are the ones normally who hold on to the grudges. It's not the children. They forgive and they go on. Moms, maybe you can learn from childlike forgiveness. Maybe from childlike imitation when you see your child doing something like you and you learn a lesson. Or maybe it's a childlike question. When Kim was pregnant with Jordan, she was sharing this with me again the other day. She was concerned about a possible miscarriage. And Josh, who was 4 years old at the time, they were sitting out there together on the porch. And she was he could tell she was upset. And he said, Mom, what's that song we sing down in the singing room about the robin and the sparrow? Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. The song goes on to say, could it be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me? And the question of a little child taught the mother, reminded the mother. Watching your children can be an eye-opening and a rebuking experience. And you know, as adults, we're still supposed to honor our mothers and to treat them respectfully, even when we're out from under their authority. And moms, the challenge for you is to be teachable, to be willing to watch and to listen and to learn and to seek to raise your children to be godly so that you can expect one day to learn from them in return. And most importantly, teaching our moms by our examples. As we live for the Lord Jesus, every mom comes to a place where she needs comfort. When she experiences heartache over her children, every mother needs counsel when her children are in danger, and they're all in danger. Every mother needs consideration from her children at any age, no matter how old or young she is or they are. And every mother needs correction from her children in an appropriate manner. I'm thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for my wife, who's the mother of my children. I'm thankful for every one of you mothers. We had 3 prizes this morning. But every one of you mothers are special. You're special to God. God cares about mothers. He cares about all of us. In fact, He cares so much that He said, your mother's not enough. No matter how wonderful your mother is, she's not enough. You need a relationship not only with your mother, but beyond that, whether you have a relationship with a mother, you need a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. And He made that possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to close without mentioning that. Because though we want to go out of here, we want to be encouraged, you as mothers, and we want to be challenged, all of us, to seek what we can do to meet the needs of mothers. You know, the most important thing when we walk out of this room is to know we have a relationship with our Creator. A relationship that's been broken by sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Back in heaven, He offers salvation. A salvation which is a forgiveness of all sin. A salvation which brings us into a family relationship beyond any family relationship we've ever experienced, no matter how wonderful it is here on this earth. A relationship with Him. And God is willing to forgive many people in this room. Most people, maybe everybody, has received the Lord Jesus as Savior, but maybe you have not. I'd love to talk with you more about that. How you can know that you're forgiven for your sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the time we've had together, thinking about mothers and, Lord, singing to them and honoring them and giving them gifts today. Lord, we thank You for our mothers. I thank You for every mother in this room. Father, I thank You for every mother represented by the individuals in this room. And Lord, I thank You for what we can learn from Bathsheba's life and the things that every mother needs. Father, help us to be faithful, to be an instrument in Your hand, to be used in the lives of mothers. And we pray, Father, that every mother here, as she needs it, will receive comfort, will receive counsel, will receive consideration, and will receive correction. And we ask this also praying for those who may not know You personally. Father, may they not leave here seeking only a better relationship with their mothers, but Father, may they leave here desiring most of all a relationship with You through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.